Get ready to ignite your real estate business with the Launch Your Farm podcast. Our episodes are packed with inspiration, success stories, and expert strategies that will help you dominate your geographic farm. So tune in and enjoy.
My main focus is to make sure you think of me, not because I'm pushing real estate on you, is because every time you think of Vegas, you think of me.
Welcome back to another episode of the Launch Your Farm Show. I'm your host, Ryan Smith, and today we've got a great guest. It's Albie Voss from Keller Williams in Las Vegas. So Albie, take a second, tell us a bit about yourself and why you're here.
Well, I'm here because my good friend, Ryan invited me here. So I didn't know if we had an audience or not, but so it, you know, one-on-one is my favorite part. So I've been with KW for 14 years here in Las Vegas, and I'm going on my 15th year in real estate. I was a Microsoft engineer beforehand, so I was really nerdy. So that's why I get a lot of this technical stuff. It comes slightly a little bit easy, but now that I'm getting old, it's not so easy anymore. But yeah, I'm a solo agent. I like to brand myself as the step-up luxury agent. So not in the super high-end luxury, but I'm not in the low-end luxury. It's where I live and play.
Nice. And you're obviously from Vegas, so you can see by the background, and that's kind of who you are and have you built your business around that. It's funny because I remember connecting with you years ago. I was at a family reunion, Keller Williams family reunion event, and you were talking about Craigslist ads, and I know you've really evolved your business from things over the years. So I want to dive into the beginning, those first few years of getting into the business and what that looked like for you, and kind of take it through how you got to where you are today.
Absolutely. But we'll tap into that Craigslist thing. That was a moneymaker right there. So at the very beginning, I was in tech and I did quite well, but my biggest problem was the harder I work, I didn't really see a financial benefit. So, one of my biggest things was I saved my company $2 million and I really didn't get anything out of it other than like a gift card to Olive Garden. I love Olive Garden, but it's $2 million. Give me a percentage, 10% or something on it. Yeah. And I took over somebody else's position and I was making 40 grand less. So I kind of felt like this is not for me. So I did the smart thing of getting my real estate license. And what do you know, the economy was crashing at the same time. So who knew? But I was very blessed to bring a lot of money into real estate. And then I had an IT background. So I went to this boutique firm. Keller Williams was this big box thing that I kind of felt like they would hold me down. And I had some really ambitious goals in real estate. So I'm like, all right, this is what I'm going to do. So I went to this boutique firm and things were okay. But I got zero help from them. I basically had to discover what am I going to do? So I am roughly a people person. As you see my hands move around. I said, how am I going to meet people? I'm like, I'm going to do open houses. So I did open houses every week for my first year. Probably 2 years. But open houses every single weekend because I figure if I get in front of them, I can be able to get them. But I didn't do a good job on that. I was getting some great leads, but you'd have to follow up with leads. And I really wasn't into that. It was more like collecting leads.
Yeah.
And that transpired to other stuff. So the economy had crashed here in America. I don't know in Canada. I didn't keep track of that. But so I had some escrows out there pending and then they closed and they didn't pay me. So I had to tell them that, we'll seek some, attorneys. If you guys don't pay me in the next week, they paid me. I searched around with the KW. And then I was learning the KW culture. It's like a whole system to itself. And then I met a productivity coach and this is where you guys should pay attention, where this is all started. So my productivity coach, I asked her a couple of KW questions and she's like, well, why don't you sit down? Let's talk. So we talked about my business and my business model. And then she's like, I want you to be one of my clients. And I'm like, what am I paying? And she goes, 15% of my commission. I'm like, oh, that sounds like a lot, but I am down. So basically the first question she asked me, and it's still relevant today, is what are you doing on Facebook? And I said, technically I'm young. I'm just posting pictures of me going out on the strip and drinking because I got nothing else. Because yeah. Facebook was so young back then. It wasn't really anything. So we're talking about 09, late 08, 09. It just wasn't a thing. Not a lot of people were even on there too. So so then she's like, all right, well, you should probably do something a little bit better. And I'm like what? And she said, you should add other real estate agents. I'm like, why? And she goes, well, maybe they can show you, hey, you're from Vegas and there's this thing called referrals. And I'm like, Oh, that sounds really good. I do like that. So basically, I cut all my toxic friends out because that included my brother as well. He's still not my friend because he said some dumb stuff. So then I just started adding agents across the United States. I just went in there, Keller Williams. I'm like, oh, that's a person. I didn't even know who these people were. So you could add people like that, but it's not really going to bring you, hey, you know what? That's going to be business right away. And so because there were so few of us back in the olden days, I also parlayed that with Twitter. So I was on Twitter as well. And that was like barely taken off in the late 09s and 10s. But you take a look at Jay Papasan, who wrote that one of the books is that we have at Keller Williams. So then I go to my first family reunion in 2010, and I'm walking with my my OP. That's the owner of my my brokerage. So I'm walking, and then he pops out of a side room, and he looks at me, goes, "Albie." I'm like, "Hey, Jay." He gives his camera to my OP, and he goes, "Take our picture." So we're taking a picture, and then I'm kind of new to KW. My OP had been around for 6-7 years already. She's one of the first people. And she's like, "How do you know him?" I said, "Social media." And she goes, "No way." So it was pretty awesome. And that was the start. And then to really separate myself early on, people were coming on probably 11 and 12. Facebook was really growing in the Facebook realm. So I still had my productivity coach, and we had to come up with something like, how can I offer something that's different? And this is where it got my whole mindset on just being different on a lot of different things. So I was offering a 26.2% referral fee, because normally here we do 25%. If you do 30, you're greedy. Now, I'm telling you, you're greedy. We just got a broadcast today for 35%. I'm like, no, thank you. Because, you know, it's like, it doesn't make sense. They'll be greedy. So, so then we did that. And that actually parlayed into Bold. Bold ended up saying, "Hey, that's a great idea. Separate yourself." Then he started implementing it. So now my value proposition has gone down because I'm not unique anymore.
Right.
Yeah. So then that transformed all of my extra stuff. And if you want me to go into details on how I was doing stuff early on and how I'm still doing stuff today.
Yeah. And I think the part of the reason I wanted to have you on the show is because you've really created a personal brand around yourself and where you live. And I think that's a thing that agents have kind of usually done one or the other. They may build a personal brand, or sometimes they may build a brand around the area that they're serving, but you've done a great job at really connecting the dots between who you are and where you live and where you serve, and created a kind of a, I wouldn't say holistic, but a well-rounded approach to when people think of Las Vegas, they think of you. And I know I've been in all the real estate groups, and when people say Las Vegas, your name comes up more than any other agent I've seen, especially in the Keller Williams circles, because you've done so good at really creating that tie together. So I want to talk about how you started to do that. You obviously mentioned some of those things that you did and then had to differentiate yourself after that. So what were you doing to start to separate yourself? Because obviously, as people pick up on things, people start duplicating and copying what people are doing. So what were you doing in those next steps to kind of help stand out and create more of that awareness?
Absolutely. So this is where I started to get some separation. So one of my main focus, I believe, was probably, I just keep throwing numbers out there, but 13, 14, somewhere in that range, probably in the 13s was, when I say 13s, it's like 2013.
Yeah.
What I was noticing is, you know, there's a lot more competition coming around. So, and at that time, Facebook was still brand new, especially when it comes to real estate. Everyone just posted their listings. You know, we just came out of where nobody was selling anything, you know, all REOs and short sales. Now we're like, hey, we're actually getting traditional sales. So everyone's posting their stuff. And I get caught up on that too and post a couple of little stuff here. But it was agents were just constantly posting business, 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 business. So then people started to separate. I'm like, oh, we can create business accounts and do other stuff. Now that was a real good moneymaker too. So that was in 10 and 11. But Facebook just got, it's a pay per play now. So, yeah. You know, Facebook's all about business right now. So, and it just looked really bad. And then I was going on a social media, conferences where I would go and speak. And then I would tell everyone, I said, look, we love your listings, but after a while it's not going to do anything. You know, it's just going to say, hey, this is what it is. And they're only going to look at you at that, and that's it. Nothing else. They don't have any bond to you. You're more transactional base.
Yep.
So to create something where, hey, let people understand who I am and create some kind of branding on the backside, because my main focus is to make sure you think of me, not because I'm pushing real estate on you, is because every time you think of Vegas, you think of me. So if you think of me, Vegas, those two things need to go together. So what can I do to really create that? So, and it's just small things here and there. And I'll give you guys some of my my tips and tricks. They've been working from early on and just transition to new and newer stuff. So one of the cool things is back in 2012 and 13 and 14, we did not have a Chick-fil-A. I don't know if they have Chick-fil-A in Canada.
We have a couple that opened up and they have not done as well as the States. But yeah, we have a couple, but not nearly what you guys have.
I love Chick-fil-A a lot, but it was one of those things that I'm like, we don't have one, but everywhere else has one. So let me talk about Chick-fil-A. So I would post, oh, I wish I had a Chick-fil-A, a picture of a sandwich. And then if I was in the area, like in LA, they had them, I would buy one, take a couple of pictures. So I knew I could use that for material later on. So randomly I would post that. So basically it had people thinking that, hey, when they drive by a Chick-fil-A, they think of me. Not really thinking like, oh, hey, there's a Chick-fil-A, but more like, hey, it's in the subconscious. And I'm like, hey, Chick-fil-A, Albie, Vegas, and get that thing going. So I did this whole Chick-fil-A thing for probably a good 5 to 6 years. Then we got one. Then I'm like, well, shoot, that's not going to work. It really is not going to work. So then I pivot, but I've always had two or three. I don't want to call them schemes, but something that has to do where in the subconscious, I'm selling you real estate without selling real estate, also being on top of mind. So another cool thing is because my wife has this huge collection of shoes and I'm like, maybe I'll just do like a shoe check. And mainly it's, you know, women that have shoes as men, most women, they don't really have anything. I am that guy that has a whole bunch of different shoes. So I kind of fit into that genre as well. So, and it got caught on by a whole bunch of other people too. They started doing that. But basically if they had shoes that were really nice and fancy, they would put it and then tag me in it. And that would make me on top of mind of that. So I'm like, all right, well, that covers the women's side. You know, not a lot of men were participating. What else? What are men really into? And I'm like, all right. So what do I see every day that makes, oh, exotic cars. So in my area, there is a ton of exotic cars, but I'm assuming if you're, I don't know, I don't want to, Kansas, I'm assuming you don't see a lot of exotic cars. They're probably around, but not as prevalent they are in my area. So I started posting those cars. And then another thing you do on you could do on Facebook too is I create special albums for each one of those. Let me give you some quick examples here, what I name my stuff here. So, and that just kind of gives it a little extra because it's like, hey, you know what? Not only do I have a collection of this, it'll just keep going. So I'm like on that right there. So like I have like cars I see on the road. So that's my album cover. And then so then we move into the what's currently trendy because that's, you know, everybody's like starting to get onto what I'm doing. So I always got to be new and refresh. So what I've been doing with my new house is just like you back there, you got multiple colors back there. So then I started hitting the whole color market with Sherwin Williams. Mm. So I became a source of reason. And, you know, some of that comes to me and says, hey, what color should I paint my house? Because I did all the research for all my, my different colors inside of my house now. So I started slowly, dripping that in there. So now I am now the color guy. So when people see gray houses, because I keep hitting on gray houses, and that's the majority that's out there. People think gray houses, Albie. I'm like, oh, he's old school. I'm like, no, gray's still pretty. You guys are still picking those nasty colors.
It's my
so gray. I have that. Yeah, exactly. So I have over here in one of my albums, I call it the color palette, the flat, the glossy, the eggshell, and the gray. So I want to make sure I keep hitting on the gray because gray is going to be around. You know, you can go to these nasty colors that people are like, oh, anti-gray. It all comes back. It just looks dated. You know, that salmon color, if you like it, good luck. And I spoke to the Sherwin-Williams rep the other day because, you know, I like colors. I like colors a lot. And I was talking to her and she said, those colors are East Coast colors, but here we're still very heavy in the grays and a gray blue and a gray green. Those are still really, really hot on the West Coast.
So, yeah, I think it's important to note that the things you've been doing are things that you're interested in and you're passionate about. Right. And if you try to create these things, if someone tried to duplicate exactly what you're doing, they're not going to get the same response. They're not going to get the same interest in it because it has to be something you're interested in. I think that's a big part of why you've done so well is that you can see the passion come out. You can see the things that you care about. You are the your genuineness comes out when you're doing that. And that's what's going to connect to people. It's not actually the things itself. It's not just the cars themselves. It's not just the shoes. You're going to connect with people who enjoy those things. You're going to connect with people who like cars. And then you can chat. You can connect with people who like shoes. You're going to connect with people who like colors. And people are going to resonate with you in different ways. And I think this is where agents have an opportunity to stop beating their chest about real estate and show who they are and show that they're involved in their community and that they represent people in their community in different ways than just talking about real estate. You mentioned it yourself, where back in the day, people were just posting listings. That hasn't changed. People still just sit there and just post listings over and over again. That's what their social media is. And it's, I just taught a class yesterday and I say it, it's called social media for a reason, because it's meant to be social. It's meant to interact and engage and create conversation. And so many agents, when they try to use any type of social media for their business or farming, it just becomes very transactional. And it doesn't stand out, and it falls flat in with your audience. So you've done an incredible job of that. So I want to go back to then you're talking about going some speaking, because I think that's a big part as well as how you can reach people in a much broader way and help build those referrals. You can use social media, which is great, but you did a great job when that's how I met you years ago. You're at a conference speaking about Craigslist ads, and I remember you talking about Chick-fil-A, and that connected the dots to some of the things you were just talking about. Can you talk about how that's helped you build your business too? Because that's a great way to get in front of multiple people from all over and still share what you're passionate about.
Oh, absolutely. So that's, I just love being in front of people, because I love meeting new people. It's just, you know, it's a numbers game. You know, real estate is all about a numbers game. So now I'll give you the full story of how that all worked out too is, so I knew, I'm like, all right, so this social media can only bring me so far. Now I'm starting to get some competition. What am I supposed to do? So then I had one of the TLs, because I've met so many TLs and OPs. They said, hey, we would love to have you come to our office. I'm like, oh, okay. So my standard fee was $1,000. I'd go and I teach a 4 or 8 hour class, depends on how much they had. And you know what? That worked great. And I'm like, oh, that's awesome. This is really good. I would get a referral probably within 2 to 3 months out of it. So I'm like, oh, this is a win-win. I'm in front of these people. And then I started really, I'm like, you know what? I need to start being, you know, strategic with this. And I'm like, all right, let me call these OPs that I know. It was really hard to get people to give me $1,000. And I'm like, well, shoot, I'm wasting all this time calling these people. And it's probably at that time was like 60 calls and I got one. I'm like, all right. Then it got even wider, because, you know, there was a little gap in 18, 16, where the market had been flat a little bit, interest rates were up. It was harder to get yeses. Then I'm like, okay, let me change. How can I make it a little better? Let me think. How about you just pay for my expenses and don't worry about the $1,000. You give me 50 people. And then, all right. So now that number is like every 20 calls, I get into yes. And I'm like, all right, cool. I'm like, well, this once a quarter thing, I need to really ramp this up, because I'm noticing that my return on my investments is 2 to 6 months. And if I'm only doing once a quarter, it's not good. I need to ramp this up. How can I get to a point of that? Then I am like, all right, you know what? I really, really, really want to go to Denver. And the reason being is, so the Golden Knights, which is a hockey team, I'm not sure if your Canadian friends know the Golden Knights are in Las Vegas, but we're pretty good. Yeah. Management's a little iffy, but we're pretty good. So I'm like, all right. So I call the OP. I know the OP up there. I say, hey, can I come on this date? She goes, absolutely. She goes, how much you want to charge? I said, you know what? It's free. I just want to go. One of my friends who's a lender up there, he has season tickets. He doesn't do any of my lending, but you know, he's not licensed here, but he's a good friend from my Hummer days. So I went up there and then we went to the game together. Then I did my class and I'm like, wow, that was pretty good. Cause I had two offices come and I'm like, So let me call my friend Hilda. Hilda is the team leader up in Silicon Valley. And the 49ers are playing. I'm really sports. I'm in the sports and entertainment division of Keller Williams, and I love sports. So I called my friend Hilda. I said, Hilda, hey, would you like to have me? She goes, oh my goodness, yes. She goes, what are you charging me? I said, zero. Oh, yeah, no. So I went up there, and they gave me a really large gift card. So I was super excited, but they didn't need to. But I ended up going to the 49er playoff game and also meeting some of the agents outside of there. I'm like, oh, this is what I'll start doing. So once a month, I would book something in a different area of the United States. I said, look, I will come and I'll pay my own expenses, but I need a room of 50 and I need food. So you give me that and I'll come by and do it for free. And I'll teach on tech. I'll teach on command. And then recently people were like, all right, we kind of want to know this referral game thing. And I'm like, all right, I'll bring that into it. So, so that's how I started and just going around. I was going to Hawaii on Cinco de Mayo, and then COVID hit, and then I couldn't go. I was like, that was super cool. But yeah, I had a wedding out there as well. So, you know, it could end up being a business write-off, and then you can match it up to whatever you're trying to do. So, but I'm more purposeful now is like, I kind of match it up to a sporting event that I want to go to. So it's a win-win for me is like, hey, I get in front of people, and then the referrals are still 2 to 6 months out. So that's really good. So they do all come back. Yep. And it's a room of 50. I give them something that's just like, wow. So when I went back to the San Jose area to teach again, I brought them what they could be doing with YouTube, and they were just mind blown on what they could do with YouTube.
And again, I think it comes back to you're doing things around things you're passionate about and you care about.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're tying it with the topics you like, you're tying it with events that you can be part of. You can go to
sporting events while you're there. That'll bring me to another avenue that I want to go into if you have time for me.
Yeah.
To do that. So, sorry. So Facebook, your standard Facebook, you're just is what it is. You pound in it, whatever it is, but that you're limited to 5,000 people, right? 5,000 is a big group, whatever it is, you know, it is what it is. So I'm like, how do you grow that? How do you get exposed to these other people? So I am very passionate about mountain biking, you know, and if I don't know if I was married and had kids that I wouldn't be living in Whistler, because I'd probably be selling real estate in Whistler and then mountain biking in Whistler. So I'm very passionate about mountain biking. That was one of the things I mentioned in one of my classes was, so I have joined these large groups. These groups are like 30, 60, you know, 70,000 people who are across the United States and in Canada that all passionate about mountain biking, you know, and then they all talk about what they do and all this cool stuff, right? So I'm in there and I'm just saying, hey, Vegas this, and slide in. I never once said anything about real estate, but, you know, it's like, hey, you know, then I kind of waited. And right before the class that I did up in the Bay Area, I posted in the morning at 9 a.m. My class was at 12. And I said, hey, what does everybody do for a living? Because everyone has really nice bikes. And then I got over 700 responses in that group. And then now, as I was teaching the class, I showed it live. I said, look, this is what I posted this morning in this group. And then now I have, oh, what are these? I don't even know what that is. Let me Google what this guy does. Oh, it's like a, you know, a neurosurgeon, but it was called something else. I'm like, what's the average salary? 800,000. I'm like, all right, so that's a guy that I need to put on the list and see if I can, you know, interact with them later down the road. And then I ended up being the source of the source inside of these groups in case people come to Vegas to ride, they would say, hey, you know, Albie's the guy. And then, you know, and then I would transpire into, hey, I sell real estate, you know, so I would ever slide that kind of stuff side in there. So, but yeah, so, but I told people, I said, look, you know, and I asked the class too during that time, I said, hey, what are you passionate about? What could you do to do? Somebody is like, oh, I do RV stuff. And I'm like, I'm assuming there's groups out there too, but you can't fake it because I don't know anything about RVs. Yeah. And she was like, all this is this detail stuff. And I'm like, yeah, that'd be, you're a really good source for that. So you could be in there once you're integrated, then you could start moving into your other stuff. So I'm already integrated in all my stuff as well.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I think there's two plays with that too, is there's a hyper local level of getting involved in that. And then like you do a national level, which is huge. I've never even thought about doing it that way to connect with people for when they do come there, because a lot of agents don't think that their personal interests can tie into real estate, but it
everything does.
It absolutely does. And you can connect with like-minded people who have similar interests who will eventually find out about it. And I find that a lot of agents have a hard time connecting the real estate to the things they do. So how do you do that tastefully or tactfully? Because I find I've got agents come to me and say, like, how do I promote myself without being sleazy or salesy? What's worked for you to connect those dots?
So basically not going out there and say, hey, are you looking to buy or sell a house, or connecting with other real estate agents? I'm like, hey, who's your Vegas referral partner? Hey, that sounds very pushy, and I'm not that pushy guy. So basically you want to show them what you do, and anyhow you feel it's the way you want to do it without showing them that's what you do.
Yeah.
I know that sounds really dumb, but you know, reality, you just want to say, hey, you know, this is what I do, and then kind of show it, you know. And there was one that I did So I had rode my bike to a new construction site and it had a beautiful luxury listing. So I took a picture of my bike in the background. I said, "Hey, I rode to work." I didn't tell them I was, they could have assumed I was a construction guy, but I'm like, "Hey, I rode to work today in my own neighborhood." So A, people were asking, "What neighborhood is this?" I'm like, "Oh, Summerlin to Las Vegas." It's like, "Oh, what does that house go for?" I mean, it goes for 1.6, 1.5, you know, it's so subtle without pushing it, you know, but if somebody opens up the question, so then you can open it up from there. So, yeah. So one of the local things, that's why I got to, instead of being super hyper-local, like in the mountain biking industry here, is everyone here's a real estate agent. There's 18,000 agents here for 2.2 million people. Wow. So there's a lot of people here. And then, the really funny is, in December, we had 1500 homes sell for the whole month for 18,000 agents. You do the math, there's a lot of people that didn't close anything and I closed 3. I said, "What is everybody else doing?"
Yeah.
So, and it's really, really, it's really tough on the super hyper local here, unless they really know you. And it's, so that's how it's been working. But basically people outside is a win-win.
Yeah. And I think it's important to, like you said, to differentiate yourself, especially if you have that kind of competition. We have some people who live in small towns that it's like there's nobody really competing against them. So it's a little easier to stand out. But when you do live in areas that are larger, you have to differentiate yourself to create a brand and create an awareness that people are going to resonate with, not just internally. Like if you can focus on referrals, you've done an incredible job at doing that. You can build a business that doesn't have to be like everyone else's. And that's where you see agents struggling. It's like, they don't know what to do. They don't know how to stand out. And with some simple tactics like you're doing can help really stand out. We had a past guest, Andrew Perry, on, and he's done an incredible job. I think he said his number was 84% of his deals were from out of town agent referrals. And he's done the same kind of thing where he's positioning himself as the Niagara on the Lake guy. And all of his stuff is around Niagara on the Lake and why people should move to Niagara on the Lake. And he just has done an incredible job at connecting with other agents to build his business, and it's very profitable because it's, and he enjoys it, and that's the cool part.
Yeah, and I want to add on to that because I was about 65-70% heavy on that for a long time, and I had to decide, I'm like, do I continue this route? Because now we're starting to get more competition. So here's the really funny part is from like 2011 to about 16, no competition. It was me and some other person, and that other person didn't sell real estate. They were just had a team, and that was a big revolving door. So then all I would have to say, I'm like, "Hey, I'll be the only person working with your client. So the referral is only going to be with me, never leave my hand." So that was my value proposition. So, but now I have some friends that are 90% referrals and do a big business. You know, I'm talking like a lot, probably 30 to 40, $50 million people. And they're starting to see, hey, there's some resistant lines coming up because there's a lot more competition out there and they have no other form of business. So this right. this is a problem. Yep. So I just had a coaching call with one of my good friends. And I said, "Look, I know you're struggling on this referral side." I'm like, "Hey, I'm struggling too. There's so many people out there and new people I've never heard of in my life. I didn't even know they're in my area." So I said, "Look, you've now been averaging 60, 70, 80 homes a year. So that's a big database right there. Reconnect with those people because you're probably not, because you're looking for the new business." And that's what I had been doing all my life. I was like, "All right, new, because I was doing a lot of SEO stuff too. It was all referrals and SEO, and that's it. I never paid for leads. Well, I did in 2013, I did, because I had just moved into my new community and the number one agent had sold 3 in that community. I'm like, "Well, shoot, I'm already at 2. I'm like, Zillow was the worst idea ever. It was a waste of money."
Yeah, I agree.
That's fine. So that's, you know, it's great to have nice referrals come in, but you really got to be on the ball on that. And I think this whole Facebook thing was supposed to be taken out because there was a lot of cheerleaders where you get people, "Hey, let's get together. Let's get 60 or 100 of my favorite people." And then when you see a post, it's just all say, yeah, this guy. Yeah. But in reality, they don't really know each other. But now people are starting to know each other because they've been doing it for so long and being successful with that. Is it's all behind the scenes of real relationship. And that's where I'll bring this point up is I don't cold call. I probably did maybe 3 in my whole entire life at Keller Williams because my bull code said, "Hey, you got a cold call." I'm like, "Yeah, that's super cool." I'm like, "No." Yeah, it doesn't work out. But I do make phone calls. I do call other agents in other markets. And that's going to be one of the things that you could really build your business on, that is building a relationship with those people. So if they're your friends on Facebook, all right, or at least they're entertaining you. So that's good. So especially when we got into a time where right after COVID happened, where there was no inventory and it was multiple offers and we're waiving everything, right? So I used that time to call agents in other markets and said, hey, I just want to, yeah, it's like, you know, I let them know, I'm like, hey, you're doing great. I'm starting to struggle here because I can't win on these multiple offers. What are you doing? And then I would get information from them. Like, oh, that's really good. So that helped my business out. At least I would give them back a little something.
Yep.
Whatever I learned from other agents, I give to other agents too. I'm like, oh, that was a really good one. That was a really good one. So, so I'm giving back as well. They're like, yeah, oh, that's great. Like that. So just kind of give that out. And I didn't come up with any ideas. I just asked the first person, what do you got? And I implemented that that's with great. My business. I think one of the biggest things that we did here is we had a due diligence period where, you know, it's like first people waiving inspections and stuff, you know, they were doing all that. And I say, hey, look, give us 10 days or give us 7 days and we'll waive everything. We just need 7 days to make sure this house is good. So during that 7 days, what we were doing was we were getting expedited appraisal. So we would know within that 7 days if that's going to appraise or not and how close we are and we're going to overpay it or not. So we would get all that done and that worked for a good 6 months. And then everybody else started doing it. And then the appraisals got backed up. So that then we had to use other tactics during that time. So yeah. And then another guy told me about the appraisal gap. And this is in 2000, probably June, August of 2020. And I said, what is that? And he goes, well, basically you say, hey, we're going to give you 10 grand above guaranteed of the appraisal. So if the appraisal comes on, we're going to give you 10 grand. Until all the California people came in and then they didn't care because they were just paying cash. And, and we ran across this summer because I just got my guy under contract. We were up to 715 and then this magical cash guy came in and it was listed at 650. But, you know, it is what it is.
I think too, going back to what you mentioned about the putting all your eggs in the referral basket, I think that is great when things are flowing and when things are hot. Like you said, the market's good. And when we see a shift, I've said this before to other agents, I say, you're at the mercy of what the market will bring you when you're playing just the referral game. Because if you've got, say your friends and family are all kind of the same age demographic and you got all kinds of referrals at the beginning of your year, now they've all settled in and now they're going to be there for the next 10 years. You can see referrals kind of ebb and flow. And there's an agent I know that was in our office and I won't say the names, but 1 year they did 360,000 GCI and the next year they did 67,000 GCI because they were at the mercy.
Canadian dollars or
Canadian.
American dollars?
Yeah, so I need to do a lot less.
I gotta calculate.
Yeah. So it was and it's like you can have big dips in your year because if it's just the referrals, unless you're very intentional with those referrals, and if you're not shifting, this is what I want to bring up, is that you've done a great job at pivoting as things have shifted. Instead of just saying, hey, I'm the referral person, or just send me referrals, you're watching to see what happens with the market, you're seeing what happens with the trends, you're seeing what's working, what's not working, and you're willing to shift and adapt. And I think that's a part that most agents miss, and they just go, yeah, most of my business is referrals until the market sucks. Then they go, shit, what do I do?
Or there's a big group where they like a big group where they like somebody a little bit better than you. Cause you can get someone that's just an average agent, but they keep winning all the referrals. They end up, the numbers end up matching.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, that guy's a great guy. And I'm like, no, he just happens to be all these people there. You don't know about all the fumbles in there. And you know, it's a lot of times when I don't win, I let them know. I'm like, hey, I'm a great secondary agent, you know? And I had, well, I guess I can't go into details, but I have closed several that were fumbled through.
Because,
they were just overwhelmed, and it's, you know, I'm the secondary guy. So and that's one last point that I kind of want to throw in there with the whole all eggs in one basket, because early on I got into this Craigslist thing, right? So Craigslist in 09, 10, 11, 12 was really hammering it. And then I got really super good with it with my technical background. So I had a website, I was driving traffic there. Google started saying, hey, this guy's a really good guy because he's getting a tier one website to send traffic to them. And he's getting a lot of it. So I was averaging around 600 leads a month, just free, just from doing my Craigslist stuff. And the problem is I didn't have a CRM because I'm like, if you weren't ready to buy today, I didn't want to do any business with you.
Yeah.
So, and that was always flowing in with people with cash to work with. So I'm like, yeah. So I never had to do any follow-ups. And then Craigslist kind of went into that market where they're like, hey, we're not going to allow any hyperlinks anymore. But, you know, I'm driving traffic to my website and it just died. Along with my SEO, it was dying too at the same time, same pace. And I'm like, ooh, I didn't realize how important that was to me. And I was really hitting the referrals too. And I'm like, now I lost half of my business because it's gone. What do I need to do? And then it made me really get into the SEO stuff again and just do the real work on it. So then my neighborhood is Summerlin. So we're about 200,000 people is where we're trying to get to. Our median price is about 200 grand more than the rest of the city. And, you know, that's where I live and that's where our office is. So it, you know, it's a win-win. I do sell all over the place, except for places where I get shot. I'm not going to get shot. When I was young, I did go out there, but not anymore. I'm not down to get shot anymore. So I got a family now. So now it's, so I went to every single community and I took pictures and I took time to write a blog about all the stuff that was in each one of the communities. Then my SEO shot back up again. I'm like, it's a win-win. And let me tell you how good it was. I got a phone call from somebody that was a lead and I'm like, all right, cool. 14 days later, I am actually cashing my check. And that was for a $750,000 house.
Wow.
And that person ended up being a Grammy Award winner, which I didn't know until they invited me back to their house after they moved in. And then I saw the Grammys on the wall and I'm like, I had no idea.
That's awesome. It's, and actually the backstory to that is I met you at that family room. We were speaking about Craigslist and you were one of the people that inspired me to really take off with that. And I did that in my business. I wasn't getting as many. I was getting probably about 125 to 150 leads a month. It actually catapulted me into starting my own team because I had leads coming in and the same thing. I didn't have a good CRM system. I wasn't following up with them. And then we got hit and it just tanked and I had to shift and adapt and evolve. But there was a time there was like the golden years of Craigslist where you could literally just put an ad and rake in leads. And it was awesome. But you have to adapt and you have to evolve. And that's, you've done a great job of doing that. And again, I've been watching for years and been friends with you on Facebook for years to see that you've been seeing what's coming up next and seeing what's not working as well and putting new things in place. So I want to wrap up with, where are you heading now? Like what's the next couple of years look like for you as far as your business goes?
But let me add a couple of more things onto that. So I lost a lot because I wasn't smart about it. So the CRM thing is a must. And then, and it was speed to lead, right? That's always been a thing. So when I got into the SEO and I'm like, all right, I'm still chasing down these leads. And I'm like, you know, what if I can't? Automation. So that's will tie us into where we need to be is everything needs to be automated. Mm-hmm. So we have two automated systems right now. One's Agent Legend. And the other one is they just changed their name. I don't know what they called it, but basically Agent Legend is a lead comes in from any source you want. It just, you know, Zillow, if you're doing SEO stuff, it comes into this box. And what it does is it puts them automatically into a smart plan and it does a drip campaign. And then whenever somebody's down to interact, you know, like you get the response back, hey, that's where it is. And the really funny part on that is I usually get to step six and that step six is, are we doing anything wrong? And then people respond to that. So yeah. I've been lazy and I should move that a little further up, but that's the go-getter, right? Are we doing anything wrong? They're like, oh no. So automation right now is definitely where you need to be. And then if you're struggling in today's market, because those interest rates are moving up, I don't know, in Canada, they're doing the same, but here they're really
ahead of you guys a couple months with ours. And then we've kind of plateaued and you guys are kind of like mirroring ours. So we were just up
and then we dropped and I did a crap load of real estate then. And that carried on to the new year. I had my best January ever, but now it's starting to shoot back up again. And I still have residuals left over. So I don't know. I'm not seeing the impact yet, but it could be because the rates are so far up, but you got to look at some automation. How do you make your life easier? Yeah. And I don't want you to spend any money because you can spend some money. And if you're just doing the bare minimum, if you're at Keller Williams, just in in command, you could just go into contacts and just smile and dial your own people. And you're like, what do I do? You could do open houses for free. You can do that. Or even easier is just go through all the people you've already done business with and contact them. So my friend, again, who's starting to lose a lot of referrals, she hadn't won in 2 months and she was winning 10 a month. She's like, hey, what do I need to do? I said, you have 80, 90 people already in there from previous past sales. They were all super happy because they all gained all this money. You should contact. She goes, I feel afraid. I don't want to contact them. Mm-hmm. I said, this is what I do with some of my people that kind of have fallen back is I said, hey, I sent a text. I said, hey, I was just in your neighborhood. I passed by and waved and they always respond. And then she's like, what's your next thing after that? And we just keep in contact. I'm like, hey, how are things going? You know, I got a client in the area. Most of the time I do have someone in the area. So, you know, and I ask them, like, how's the house? You know, just make sure they realize, because they'll forget about you, especially people that move into town. They'll move into town. You're the only person they know. But after they go to work, then they go to their kids' school. There's 14 other agents. It's like, please use me. I was like, I'll do it for free.
Yeah.
So that's a take back. But there's always business out there, and it may be just sitting right there, like in your phone too. Everyone.
Yeah. And it's that follow up is like you said, is key, and automating as much as possible. My partner, she's just went through her database the last couple of days. She's doing a food drive in the community, and she's been going through, and she's like, it's so much easier when like you have something and a reason to call instead of just saying, hey, you think we're making moves. She's doing a food drive. So she's like, oh, hey, I'm just calling about the food drive. And by the way, just want to check in and see if you have any real estate needs. She's like, this makes it easy. And she's like, people are, oh, I've meaning to get a hold of you. And people are updating them where they're at. Some people were moving, now aren't moving, and things. And it's just, but you have to do it. And if you can automate it, it becomes that much easier, which is a big part of where we're headed.
It's just to get in front of all your people. And there's some other things that I'm implementing over the next year that, you know, is definitely going to be able to get in front of them. And it all comes with a smart plan. So that's like a stage two. Smart plans, automated, make it easier on your life. And then one of the things that I am doing is I'm doing small tips and tricks on YouTube. What am I doing with my house? Because I'm doing all these little things myself. Like one of the things is like how to program your car to the garage. Nice. I get that question a lot. And the people from the Bay Area that are moving in, I wonder why all the people from the Bay Area are moving here. That's because I did so many classes in the Bay Area. I am their source to go through. I got one of the largest teams at EXP. They still send me business. Wow. Just because I'm their guy here. So that's something that's going to be rolled out with the link in there. I'm like, hey, ever thought about doing this? And then I have an air filter one, too. You should change your air filter every 2 months. So that's going to be a kind of reminder out there. So it's something that's in the books to make sure that stuff gets out, just so I can get in front of people.
That's awesome. And that's what it's about. It's just staying relevant and staying in front of people. And that's going to keep you top of mind and keep the referrals coming in. So we always wrap up with a best piece of advice. So if someone is thinking about trying to build a brand around themselves or build around their area that they're serving, what's your last piece of advice that you'd share with them?
Oh, absolutely. So if you want to get in front of someone and make sure that your branding is, you know, it lasts and it continually grows, you have to do something that's passionate for you. Mm-hmm. So like if I say, hey, there's a lot of wine drinkers out there, right? There is a lot of wine drinkers. I don't know anything about wine. And I don't even like wine. So you can't fake it. Yeah. But it'd have to be something that you're really passionate about. You know, is it sports? Is it some activity you do? Do you go to the gym? Is it yoga? Is it coffee? Is it stenciling? I don't even know if that's a thing, but I just made that up. But yeah, like I'm passionate about colors, and I'm passionate about, you know, I'm passionate about cars too. So it's just those things too. And then I'm just really blessed to be living in a city where it's so recognizable, and it's small things. So I can have the Zoom of my pretty little kitchen that I'm sitting in now, but I chose to have this because when I do my, part of our sports and entertainment division, we have a weekly Zoom, and there's what, 500 people that are in there, 400 in there. And guess what? This guy has the Vegas on there. I've been lazy because I should put some other stuff in there too, but I didn't want it to look like so I guess one of the biggest things is do things subtle.
Yeah.
And it's always top of mind and do it correctly. Even so, if you're, so your area, let's say whatever part, what area do you,
it's like Niagara region is where we serve.
All right. That region. So what I do is, because my area is Summerlin, is no matter what, I always tag that location in my Facebook, no matter what. No matter what. And then I take pictures of that area just to post it to make it show, hey, you know, that's what it is. Oh, I'll tell you guys another cool thing too is, so everything in social media has been all story driven. You know, we're all first, we're posting regular stuff, and then we go story driven. Is get yourself a Snapchat account, an Instagram, and kind of post your daily what you're doing, because you don't really want to, you want to make sure people know that you're still doing real estate without them knowing you're still doing real estate. Like, hey, look at this. Like I always do a lot of kitchens and showers. So people will see that. I'm like, oh, he's out showing. He's looking at pretty stuff. So that just keeps that stuff on top of mind too. But you want to make sure you add a whole bunch of people and you interact with people as well. Yeah, and be transparent. So I have a lot of energy. It could be because I drink Monster, but it is. But no, I just inherently have a lot of energy anyways. But you can't have all this energy, and then when I meet you and you're like, hey, that doesn't make sense. They want something that's energetic, you know, and then if you're portraying, hey, you got a million filters and I meet you in real life and I don't know who you are, that's a problem too.
Yeah, 100%. That's so true.
Those are my key giveaways. That's and then, awesome. Give me the last one that you want to ask.
Yeah. About. So we always wrap up with the last book. So what's one book you'd recommend that you think would have an impact on our viewers?
Apparently, because I have ADD and I have dyslexia, I don't really read a lot of books. Actually, I don't read a lot of books. So in my college career, I probably read one or two books. Whatever the instructor showed me is what I did. I had this memory, but I do read a lot of financial stuff. Just like housing market, but they're all newsletters that come out. Bloomberg's really good. CNBC is pretty much all I read. So I've been giving people, if you follow me on Facebook, I give people tips. I'm like, hey, maybe you should invest in this. I even told you guys to buy NVIDIA. I told you guys to buy NVIDIA, after it hit bottom, and it's almost up $100 and it's been what, 2-3 months? So that was an easy one there, but yeah. And then NVIDIA is going to continue to grow because of this ChatGPT, and that's going to be your next.
That's huge.
Next feature there.
Yeah. Awesome. So we always wrap up with how people can check out and find out what you're up to. How can they connect with you and find a little bit more about what you're doing?
All right. So I'm pretty much in this part of your brand management too, is you got to make sure everything you're on is at your name. So mine is at Albie Vaz, and it's on Instagram. It's on Facebook. It's on YouTube. What else? LinkedIn, but I don't really use it, but apparently people are using it. So even TikTok's on there. I don't know. I'm still iffy if we should really be using it, but you know, it is what it is. If I had an OnlyFans account, it'd probably be that. Street, but I don't. So we never know, the market could change and I could do that, but yeah, make sure that's part of your branding. And then, and you guys could always reach out to me, and hopefully you can put some info in there for me too, to for people to reach out to me.
Awesome.
I'm a good follow because I'm funny.
Yeah, you are. And that's, I've appreciated you over the years of all the good stuff you share. So yeah, we'll put that in the show notes so people can check that out. So thank you for being on the show. I really appreciate you sharing your insights, your experience, and what you've done with your business. And I know that for agents, even take a small sample of what you're doing and apply it to their business, they'll hopefully start to see some successes. So thank you for sharing that. And I really keep rocking and keep being you, because it's awesome to watch.
Absolutely. And I didn't go riding this morning because I didn't have enough time so I could be with you.
Oh, thank you.
I don't have any time to ride now. So I'm like, oh, man. So this is how important you are to me in this whole cast.
I appreciate that. Awesome. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, man. All right, bye.
And happy farming.